So welcome to coaching. We are going to get things done today. Oh my God. And naturally the first person I pull up is beautiful. I'm just like, this is some bullshit. I've not had a chance to have a shower. So I got up this morning. I did my workout. I had my public Facebook Live. The coaches are still in town. We just got through laying out the rest of the plans for the quarter. And then I had to roll right into this call. So I've had no shower. We're all three of us are riding dirty. We've not had a shower yet. So what are we coaching on?
Are you talking to me that I'm beautiful? Because I think you're beautiful.
Yes.
No matter what.
No.
I'm like, you,
I mean,
who's she talking to?
Like, I was like, I had to like lube my lips. They're so chapped. I told them, I was like, oh my God, my lips are killing me.
I'm just laughing because you're like, you're like my hero. So I think you look so beautiful the way you are. I'm like, is she talking to me? I was like, who is she talking to?
No, like I brought you on. I was like, why couldn't somebody who is just as dirty as me show up?
So I'm nervous to coach with you because I know you're going to whoop my ass, but I totally need it.
All right.
So I have been with the tribe since January and it's been awesome for me. It's just been life changing. And I think we met actually at ModelThon. And one of the things that I was saying to you was, you know, I really don't have like too much of an issue with getting up and exercising, but food has been like a real problem for me, especially because I think I do this exercise binge scenario where I eat, but then I'm disciplined enough to exercise it off. But all I do is think about food. And it controls my life. So I was hoping to come to the tribe to get a healthier relationship with food and feel my feelings, quite honestly.
Okay.
And it's been tremendously helpful, but I still do the same shit. And I'm like trying not to beat myself up over it, but I make the plan. I go to the plan. And then it's like, come like three or four o'clock in the afternoon. It's like, I think it's because I just have this feeling and I've been trying to get rid of the deprivation or restriction. Then I just eat whatever and I feel sick and I feel sick about it. And it just, it's just getting so old. So I try.
Let me ask you this. When it comes to like when, so I want you to move your restriction to the action line. You've got it as I feel restricted versus restriction is just an action. It's driven by a feeling. So like for you, you restrict laziness. Like you're the person that goes and works out, right? So
right.
One of the things that you restrict from on a regular basis is laying in bed. Like when do you work out?
Yeah, exactly. As you said, like first thing in the morning, it's like I'm up and out.
Okay, so you totally restrict yourself from sleeping in.
Right, right.
But that doesn't make you feel terrible. Why is that? What is your thought about getting out of bed each morning?
I love how I feel when it's over.
Right. So when you're restricting sleeping in, you're not sitting there going, I'm so deprived of my sleep. So now I'm going to go force myself into a workout.
Yeah.
The problem with the food is somewhere in there, you are constructing your food plan from a place of, I can't have this. I shouldn't have this. Like you're doing it wrong, basically, is what we like to call it.
Right. Right.
So when you think about your food plan, what are your, like, just give me some general thoughts you have about it.
Okay. So God, honest truth, like I'm afraid to eat what I want to eat. I'm like afraid to eat carbs. Like I'm afraid to put them on. And then, but then I end up eating like just crap anyway. So it's like, I'm afraid to plan for something that would actually fill me up. Like I'm afraid for the first time to be like, yeah, I'm going to eat like potatoes. Or I'm going to eat like
what's the
something
worst thing
I want to eat.
Happens if you eat potatoes?
I'm afraid I'm going to gain
on
weight.
On a plan. Do what?
I'm afraid I'm going to gain weight.
Are you going to gain weight if you eat planned potatoes?
I've never tried. Like, so we'll have to.
At 4 o'clock, what are these unplanned things you're eating?
Probably shit that's a lot worse. Like,
well, tell me, like, give me some specific examples.
Like pita chips, animal crackers. Like whatever
in my closet. Planned potato for fuck sure is going to make us gain weight, but animal crackers, no.
Yeah.
Do you see what an unrealistic fear it is? It's just your brain. That's all that's happening. But this is what I want you to see. You're not feeling deprived. You think you're feeling deprived. You're feeling scared.
Yeah.
a lot of us mistake, like, you are depriving and restricting on the action line. That could be a good or a bad thing. It's really a nothing thing. It's always right. Like, move it up into the feeling line, and it hides us from being able to see what true feeling we have. Your biggest problem isn't that you either do or do not have potatoes, or you do or do not have animal crackers. Your biggest problem is you're terrified of food.
Yes.
That's the problem. Go ahead.
I used to count calories, like, and I used to feel, okay, so if I eat this many calories and I work out this many calories, and I'm like net. A big part of the tribe is that I've stopped doing that. I just won't do it, right? Because it just makes me so insane. And I always tell myself, what would I be using this mental energy for if I wasn't figuring out the math? And I love that question because I have beautiful kids, and, you know, like, it just frees me up to be with them more. And that's, like, I think a first step in the healthy direction. And now I think the second step for me is to eat dinner with my family. Like, I cook healthy for them, and I'm like, oh, you guys can have that, but mommy's just going to have the salad. And then later on, I'm like, but either I'm emotionally hungry or physically hungry. And then I just go back to the same thing.
I want you to just start planning. This is where, like, you're going to have to, what is the biggest thing you want to solve right now? Are you willing to risk a tiny bit of weight gain to solve the fear and then get back to losing weight or get back to where you were? Which I'm going to just tell you, if you plan potatoes and stuff like that, you're not going to gain weight.
Right.
I wouldn't even get on the scale. If you're used to, it's really going to depend. The only way that you would gain weight planning potatoes is if you were like total keto.
And you're not. I'm not. Right. I tell you what I eat. I'm not. Clearly I'm not.
So then, like, it's just unrealistic. It's just like what your brain likes to think about because it's so afraid of food. It doesn't want to do the action. I would, like, seriously, if I was you, I would just be like, I am going to realistically plan what I'm already doing so that I can eat it totally consciously. And let me just see what I'm so afraid of.
So I listened to one time I listened to the No BS because I started from the beginning. And I love the idea of, like, better, best, and all that other stuff. But the most impactful, the weirdest lesson I thought, which was almost, I think, should be for me, was the planned overeat. Even though it's like, just put it down and just say, okay, I'm going to shut everything off. I'm going to eat everything that I want to eat. And then how am I going to feel? And just go for it. Like, and in my life, that would be like carbs, you know, like my real dinner, like with my family. It would almost be like eating real food in place of Frankenfood, which is like, for some reason I can eat that and then not gain weight. So I'm okay with that. But then it's like, if I switch it out and I'm like, whoa, what is that going to mean for me? But I feel like I should almost do that, like, for a couple of days.
The difference is because, like, when you do it on purpose, then you have to bring up the thoughts that you're already having on purpose. Right. When you do it the way you're doing it, it's like, I'm going to eat first and then I'm going to think about all the things that I don't like to think about. But right. I'm going to get my food in first.
Right.
What I'm trying to get you to do is, like, let's just plan it and have the thoughts while we're eating. It just changes the situation. So, like, for you, and this is one of the things I talked about at camp, is you're overeating right now. Like, what you're doing is, I'm an overeater. What I want you to do is plan it, and then you're no longer an overeater. You're an on-plan eater who gets to decide whether or not this plan helps you keep the weight you want to keep. And all you're doing right now is being an overeater who hopes they won't gain weight.
Right. Right. I'm like totally petrified of that, but I feel like that lesson, like, sung to me.
Do it.
Like, I was kind of like, shit, she's totally onto something.
Yeah.
Like, what about if I just disempowered all of that and just told myself, even if it costs me 10 pounds or just make sure I'm alive. Like, and I'm not, like, I'm not going to die.
What's so funny is that's not even going to happen. Your brain is trying to figure out a way that this is going to be a bad thing. And I'm okay with it being a bad thing. And I'm just trying to get you to understand. It's like, what if we just do it because we're already doing it and see what happens?
Okay.
You're already, like, I really want you to think about what I'm fixing to say. You are an overeater who spends a lot of mental energy hoping they don't gain weight. That's who you are as of right now.
Right.
And if you decided, I am now a planner of what I'm actually going to eat, and I'm going to set aside doubt, and I'm going to set aside the fear, like, I understand I will be afraid and stuff, but I'm already afraid I'm going to gain weight.
I'm afraid talking to you. It's like making me feel sick right now, even thinking about it, honestly.
Yeah. So you're already afraid of all that. So we're not trading any negative feelings. Now what we're saying is we're just going to do everything on a plan so we can become a planned eater. And now I will be someone who will understand what I'm having, understand what I'm doing, and I will know whether or not I need to change stuff or not. You'll get to decide. I have just never met anyone who plans a few chips or some animal crackers or potatoes on purpose and is not eating them behind their back and not eating them out of control. Like when they're literally just having them because they plan them and they want to eat them consciously, they develop a healthy relationship with them. They're not eating them from the fuck it mindset or the I'll work that off mindset.
And I'm also like doing it in the pantry. It's like so embarrassing. Like you're I like hide in the pantry.
It's not even embarrassing. It's like a waste of time because you don't even get to enjoy it.
Right. I don't enjoy it because I'm like in the pantry doing it.
Animal crackers on your plan and be like, I'm going to sit. I'm going to have some animal crackers with my kids. You will eat them in a different state. I'm guaranteed. Yeah. I know this happens when you guys eat out of like this whole mindset of I can't have this mindset. You end up overeating more than you normally would. There's always going to be the extra 2 to 3 bites or 2 to 3 bags because there's this feeling of I'm not supposed to be doing this. I better get it in all right now because there's a price to pay. Either with my verbal or my mental abuse, I'm going to have to work it off. I'm going to have to restrict. Like there's always like this mindset, there's a payoff. When you switch it over to planning it, you just eat it with ease.
Yeah.
You always know that you can have it if you want it. Like I'm going to have some more tomorrow if I want to really want to have it. You're not eating it out of hurry. I would be very curious how often if you planned what you were going to eat, how much less volume you'd end up having over time versus scarfing it down as if it's this one's the last time.
Well, it is like the last supper mentality, like you said. But then tomorrow it's the same dance with myself.
Right.
And one of the things that I've done with your tool, which has been amazing for me, is that the other day I had a breakthrough where I just literally stopped what I was doing in the middle of it. And I did like a thought download and I just like completely like was like, at least it was the first step, you know, yeah. Like at least it was the first, like I have you in my earbuds all the time. And I'm like, why am I wasting my time listening to Corinne if I'm not really listening? You know, like I have to try. I can't just listen to her in the background. Like, oh, I'm doing the podcast. I'm not doing the podcast because I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
I'm just listening to it.
In those times, you need to really
that
you are making progress. It is so easy to think that unless you are fixed or at the end of the journey, that somehow, like, it's like we forget that there's so many little small things that we have to celebrate along the way. Like, you need to, like, really take some time to be like, things are shifting. Oh my gosh, look how different this is. Like, this right. is a big step forward because I never used to do that stuff. Like, I'm actually thinking now in the middle of it. I'm actually having a pause. I'm actually challenging myself to get in the moment. I was actually right. coaching someone early this morning on the same thing. It's like, you really have to, like, allow your brain to enjoy the process of stop being an overeater. What we do is we think it's all going to be like stress, struggle, and worry and fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like at this moment, this is like your opportunity to say, like, now here's something I can enjoy about it. I'm learning how to dial into myself. I'm learning how to do these things. I may still be overeating, but that's not a big deal because if I can do this, I wonder what else I can do with it.
And, you know, the other thing is, like you said, like, which another thing that really resonated with me is that you said, like, you're not paying me to like not participate. So since I started the tribe, I have done a 24-hour plan. I have not been able to execute it at all, but every day I'm like, I fucking write it down again. I don't care. And maybe the missing piece is that I'm just not going all in on myself. I just am not giving up. And it's almost like my little blue binder is like my shame binder because nothing's complete, but I just am like, I'm just still going at it and telling myself, no, this time I'm not going to quit. And I'm going to look back on January and be like, look, none of these plans made sense because they couldn't. And now here I am in June. I learned all the things I needed to learn and all my plans make sense.
Yes. We were just trying to like bind or a shame binder.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because I just trying to tell myself, like, just keep living into your future self. All of these things are important to me. Like all of
these feelings. Make sure you're celebrating that you are showing up for it every day, no matter what. Yeah. That's huge. Yeah. Not many people do it.
Right.
Now what I want you to do though, is I want you to like say, if I could lose weight any way, if I could do it any way I wanted to, or I maintained my weight any way I wanted to, I'd be eating just like this. And then I want you to plan that tomorrow. And I want you to make that feel like shit.
It's like, it makes me so emotional to think like I could do that.
It's right there waiting for you.
I know.
Let's just try to be the person we want to be for a little bit rather than running away from the person we don't want to be.
It's so crazy because it's so intense, this part, but I know I'm not walking away from it this time. I'm just not.
It's never easy. I mean, it's worth it, but guys, it's never easy to start. It's like we intellectually know this is what I need to do. Like I'm hearing Corinne say this. I know it in my gut. I'm just holding myself back. The part where you just be like, okay, I may or may not have a consequence, but I'm going to give it a try. The only thing stopping you is you're so like, I want you to like make a commitment to yourself that you're going to do this. You're going to plan the food that like, this is how I would eat. Like if I wasn't worried and scared and fearful, I would be eating just like this to maintain my weight. Do you have weight? You're at your goal, right?
Yeah, I am. And my fear is if I took away the 2 hours of exercise, I wouldn't be because I eat to compensate. Like I like have to negotiate that part. And for me, I don't want to spend that much more time anymore. I just don't. It's a waste of fucking time. Like
I would do one change at a time. I would have this saying, I'm now going to start eating like the person that I dream of. Like I dream to be able to eat. You're not even saying like, I think we get into this mindset. If I let go of some of my rules, then I'm just going to be like buck ass wild. It's like, you're already buck ass wild now because you have so many tight rules.
Right.
The person who's like follows through and plans and does what they say they will do from a loving place, not a self-loathing place, doesn't need to rebel against herself. So I want you to start with, I'm going to make some plans, some very realistic ones. Do not change your exercise yet. Otherwise, you're going to be doing too many identity shifts at one time.
Right.
Okay. I want you to start there. I want you to get very comfortable with changing your eating habits. Leaning in, it will feel wild. I don't know if you're going to, what it's going to feel. I just want you to like be mindful of what you feel. That's the most important part.
Yeah.
And like be all in on that for a couple of weeks. Just say these plans are going to be totally realistic. And then allow whatever's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to happen. In my mind, I think you're going to be very shocked that you've spent this much time trying to control something that never needed that much control.
That would be such a gift.
I think it's
probably, I hope so too.
It's shocking because I used to be like, I exercised a lot. And then this last, I would say, especially this last year, I've been really focused on business. And one of the first things I worked on with one of my friends was I was just terrified of not being someone who exercised over an hour a day and blah, blah, blah. And she said, why don't you just do it? Focus here and see what happens. You know what happened?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. I just knew that I was going to somehow gain 10 pounds. Like in my mind, I was like, and I'm all in because I need to focus on all this stuff. Like I just had this dramatic like movie going on in my head. Nothing. You know what ended up happening? I made the most use of my time during the 30 minutes I had. My joints have felt better. I mean, it's just like there's been more positives than there have. Like, I enjoy walking more now than I ever have in my life.
Right. Like, that's like, I know that that's like the girl that's inside of me. It's like, you know what? You could be with your kids a lot more. You know, like, you don't have to be so tired. Plus, you're eating shit that makes you feel like tired. And then you're frustrated. So you take it out on them. And you can't make it to bedtime because you're exhausted. And, like, look at the quality of life you have where you could just clean up what you're fucking eating, work out less, and, like, enjoy your family.
Yeah.
Like, that's really why I joined here, was because, like, I don't want the chatter anymore. Like, I don't want the holds anymore. So I just told myself, I'm all in, especially because, I mean, I don't mean to blow sunshine up your ass, but I believe in you. Like, your voice resonates to me. And sometimes you just need to meet the right community and the right people and say, yeah, okay, look at all these fucking girls killing it. I can do it too.
Yeah, I think you're going to be just fine. I would start with food for sure. That's always the most, to me, the most emotional one of all anyway. That's the one I'd go all in on. And then you can start questioning the exercise side. You know, why am I exercising? Like, is this for joy or is this for control? How am I going to work on my relationship with exercise now? What do I want it to be like? And like, if I could do anything, what would I be doing? That has been the work that I've done this last year that I've loved the most of anything. Is I finally got back into, like, I don't want to be exercising for any reason other than I like it.
Right.
And I dropped all my, I didn't even know I had crazy manuals and rules for it until I started looking at it. I was like, holy shit. No wonder I'm so damn tired.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even loving every workout anymore. If every one of them feels like a grind, something's wrong.
Right.
If I can't meet myself where I'm at that day, something's wrong.
And you know what I love about your work is actually when you say, like, meet yourself where you are, that's hard. It's hard to face the music. Like, it's hard. Like, I thought that I was, you know, I thought those plans made sense. And then I'm like, then I go back to, like, how'd you do? And I'm like, fuck, you know, like, sit down. And I'm like, I'm so far away from that, you know, like, and, but I've never met a process that just the very next day forces you to just not numb out and figure out. And the other part of that is it's like so automatic. Like, in some of the thoughts that I have in myself, it's like, please be patient because you built this terrible process up over years. It might take more than just like 2 or 3 weeks of trying hard to unwind it.
One of my favorite exercises to do, I do this about once a quarter, is I kind of take a self-evaluation as to how I'm like just being in my life. Like, I look at my healthy life. I look at my, like, my exercise, my eating, my family, my work. Like, I look at like the big pillars and I'm just like, if I threw it all away and could start all over and construct it however I wanted, this is what it would look like. Because it's so easy for us to get away from that. Like, it literally takes me every quarter of saying, I'm going to throw it all away and start over. What would that look like? And then there's always these things that I want to change. I'm like, how did I get, like, you know, I'm always like, how did I get off track? How am I doing this versus this? But it's a good exercise to do because it makes you see the only thing stopping me from this is literally just me and how I'm thinking right now.
No.
And then you just start pulling it apart one at a time and saying, okay, if I really want to be the kind of person who just, you know, eats animal crackers every other day and they're on the plan and I want to have dinner with my family and eat what my family eats and I know they're eating healthy, the only thing stopping me is fear. I'm willing to push through fear to have the dream.
I know. And I think the biggest reason why I signed up was because my kids, one time when we went out, they're like, well, you don't eat anyway. You only eat salad. But, and in my head, I'm like, I'm such a lie because I do eat. I just don't eat this in front of you, but I'll go home and do something like behind your back. And I was like, that just sucks.
Yeah.
You know, that just sucks. I mean, like, it just like broke my heart. I was like, that just sucks. You know, just sucked.
Yeah. If you're going to eat a salad, eat it because you love it.
Yeah.
You think it's the only thing you can have.
Yeah. It just sucked. Like, that was like, okay, girl, do something more than this.
Yeah. Just start. Yeah. I swear the bottom line for you is just start being the person you dream of being.
Yeah.
Just do it.
I try. I'm like shaking my stress out of my neck. I'm like, I'm going to try.
Take one little thing at a time and start doing it. That's all it's going to take. I bet you if you do that for the next 90 days, you'll be shocked at the person you become. You'll be like, wow, this is great. I'm so glad I decided to start taking it apart one at a time and just facing my fears.
Yeah.
Here's the good news that blows up in your face after 90 days. I'm assuming that this version of you is just sitting there ready to come back. Yeah. The other version of us never really goes far away.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well,
thank you.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you, Corinne, so much.
All right. Let's see who's next. I think it's Megan. Yep. Let's go, Miss Cox. My face is getting red. It's getting hot in here. Every time I close the door, I think the girls are gone. I'm going to, let me open my door, y'all. And I am like in total booty pants mode. Like it is all about the dirties and the duties today. Whoo, let that air come in. So y'all see my Tough Mudder pants? I'll never get rid of them. What are we coaching on?
So I do not like my boss. I can't stand him. He just drives me nuts, but I don't want to quit. I don't want to switch jobs. I like it here.
Yeah. If you like it there and you don't want to quit and change all that, you're going to have to change something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like obviously I can't change him.
Right.
So I don't know how to change my thoughts or my attitude about him.
What is he doing that's so terrible?
He,
give me one thing that he does. That's like, okay, so this is the thing. If he dropped this bullshit, I'd be all in.
Yeah. Well, it's numerous things, but mostly he demands, attention and respect. But the second he's done talking, he's back on his cell phone and it drives me nuts. And then
why do you care if he's back on his cell phone?
Because you talk and he doesn't hear you. And then we sit there and wait for him. And he just doesn't pay attention when anyone else is talking, unless it's about him, I guess.
So when he's talking, what are you doing?
Paying attention.
You're not thinking he's an asshole?
Oh, I definitely think he's an asshole.
So you're not paying attention. You're judging him while he's talking.
Judging him, yeah. Yeah.
So you could have something greatly in common. Neither one of you respect each other.
I definitely don't respect him.
For sure. But you want him to respect you first so that you can respect him.
I want him to, yeah. Like, I definitely have a manual of how I think he should act as a boss. And he does. Yeah. I just don't understand how he can't give other people respect.
Because that's not his, it's not important to him.
Yeah.
It's he not. Probably can't understand why the hell you can't be patient. He's like, I'm the boss. I got shit to do. I got people calling me. I'm going to take this call
right
now.
He's on Facebook, Corinne. He's on Facebook.
That's his prerogative. Why do you care?
Because.
All right. So here's my thing.
Yeah.
I'm so mad he has shitty work habits.
Yeah. And I've got to sit here and waste my time.
Are you wasting your time? Or you get? Let me ask this. Does the clock stop paying you while you're sitting there waiting on him to finish Facebook?
I know that I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
While he's on Facebook. That I know. But I have so much work to do and I'm falling behind because he just can't focus on one thing.
So how long are you in all these meetings waiting for him to finish Facebook?
So sometimes it's like an hour.
He's on Facebook for an hour and you're supposed to sit there and watch him be on Facebook.
He's talking for 20 minutes and then the other 40 minutes is everyone else talking.
So it's not that you're all sitting there watching him on Facebook.
Sometimes we are.
And so the whole room goes quiet for 40 minutes while he Facebooks.
For a minute at a time, yeah.
Yeah. So you're not falling behind in your work because he's on Facebook. I want you to see where that thought is. Mm-hmm. You're in a meeting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are happening in there that's very productive. You're just fucking irritated at the boss while he's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not making you behind in your work.
But we can get out sooner if everyone just chop chop, meaning my boss.
Well, yeah, you could, but that's not the situation. But you being irritated about the current situation doesn't make that work get done any faster. You know what it does? You probably go sit at your desk and fuck around in your Facebook in your mind about how he was acting before you get started on all that work that you're falling behind on.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when you're trying to work from irritation, you're working slower.
Yeah.
Your brain can't be focused and irritated at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You get to do one or the other.
Yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah, so if you just quit being irritated, you'll go back and all that work will be waiting for you. Be like, oh, the focused version of Megan's here.
Yeah.
Here would be my suggestion. While he's dicking around on Facebook, be thinking about the first thing you're going to do when you get back to your desk, rather than thinking about what the hell he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I spend time with people all the time who are, let's just say, work very differently than Corinne.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, my husband. I mean, I have to sleep with mine. Do you have to sleep with your boss? I'm talking about managing your brain, right? And I watch, and I notice myself sitting there judging and thinking about how he should change, and, oh, my God, if he'd just do it different, we'd get so much more done, and blah, blah, blah. And all I've done during that time is not thought about how I could be getting more done myself. Like, when I go back to my desk and I have to do my things, here's the first things I'm going to be banging out. Like, you could see it as a great opportunity to make the best use of your mental energy, or you can use it as an excuse to let your brain run wild with doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
Your boss, seriously, like, I always just tell you guys, I'd love to do deep thought work with you guys on this stuff. The problem is that when you think your job has anything to do with your boss, you have already hosed yourself. How you show up in your job is how you show up in your job. How he shows up in his job is how he shows up in his job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will be a better employee if you spend your mental energy not being consumed in how someone above you should behave differently so you can feel differently. Mm-hmm. And that's where your problem is. Like, think about every single meeting you're in where you're like hating on him. If you didn't do any of that, what would you be thinking about?
Yeah, what's actually going on? Yeah.
You might pay attention to some of them other people who are trying to get a word in edgewise while he's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You might be thinking about your job. Hell, you could be thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. I'm going to stay on plan today. I'm not going to get irritated and eat a donut today.
Yeah.
Tell me what else he does. So we saw the meetings. We're no longer going to sit and be haters on Facebook. Maybe he's in a PNP man tribe and he just can't stand to be away from it.
So I run a meeting every Wednesday, and he would interrupt it with just because he's on his phone, and then he would think of something and it would pop into his mind, and he would interrupt the meeting for stuff that I wasn't even talking about. So I did talk to him about that in private, and I said, you're being disruptive during the meeting. So he did stop that.
Awesome. And
yeah, so that's good in that respect. But I mean, that's really just it. Just like when he just has these mania episodes, I call them mania episodes, because somebody will be talking and he just interrupts them with the first thing that comes to his mind. It could be anything. Sometimes he really reminds me of Michael Scott.
Let me ask you this. I want you to put yourself into his head.
Yeah.
His circumstance is your meeting. And he has what he probably decides is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
What do you think he thinks?
He's excited.
So he's excited.
That he thought of something.
Yeah. So his thought is what?
He needs to get it out right away.
Before I forget it, or something.
Back to the man tribe.
Yeah. So he talks, and he's also like, I'm just going to tell you, as someone who is probably just like your boss, ask my team. Oh, go to, like, come to camp.
I'm coming.
Are you coming in April?
Yeah.
You'll get to see me interrupt people all the time. Constantly. It's like a 3-day interrupt fest.
It's different.
No. Here's what's different. What's your thought about my interruptions?
Because I respect you.
Yeah, you could do that with your boss if you wanted to. And then you could never be irritated again.
I respect him.
But why do you respect me? If I'm like interrupting you with like, oh my God, Megan, I have this amazing idea for your diet. I know we're talking about your boss, but let me tell you about this new thing I just learned.
It wouldn't bother me.
And why is that?
It just wouldn't bother me if it was you.
But your thought about, no, it's not him. What is your thought about an interruption from me?
My thought is it wouldn't bother me.
But why? Because Corinne is what?
She's the tribe leader, and what she has to say is important.
Okay, he's the boss, and what he has to say is important.
It's not always important.
But what if I told you about Luau?
I love cats.
Okay, what if I told you about that squirrel outside?
You wouldn't do that.
I would. How many times have I podcasted and said, oh my God, Kathy, did you see that squirrel? I would do all of those things. You just think that you owe me respect because you value my thoughts. Mm-hmm. You don't value his thoughts. That's where you need to do your work.
Yeah.
You have decided he's wrong.
Yeah.
So anything he has to say at any time is just wrong. Oh, that's the wrong time. Oh, no, he should say that now.
Yeah. So then how do I change my thoughts around it?
First, you don't even change them. You start acknowledging that you're judging him.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're just stating the news that you work for a dick.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. It's a thought.
Yeah. So it's like, we just need to, every single time you're sitting there and you're in your judgment mode, you need to say, this is me judging him.
Mm-hmm.
This is not me irritated, because this is how I know that the difference in the circumstance. My circumstance for you is interruptions. So you could put boss interrupts or Corinne interrupts. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when he interrupts, he's a bad person in your circumstance line. He doesn't behave the way he should in your circumstance line. You don't have that as your thought. I think you know it belongs in the thought line.
Oh.
Like, how do I feel better about someone who's rude? That's essentially what you're asking me. And I'm like, first of all, you have to drop the idea he's rude. That he's just the boss. He gets excited. He has ideas. And sometimes they come out in the middle of a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be okay. That doesn't affect how I show up in my job. I still can show up like a valuable employee. I still can get shit done. Mm-hmm. That this guy, and when he chooses to talk and if he uses Facebook, is so irrelevant to my future.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. It's going to be hard.
I don't want you to say it's going to be hard. Here's what I want you to think. It's going to take some time to get used to.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to start believing something new about him. I'm going to start believing that I can find value in any situation. It's no different than like when you guys don't want to find value in an overeat, you just want them to stop. They don't stop until you start finding value in them. They don't stop until you start figuring out how they teach you and how they guide you to the next level. This guy is teaching you a lot. But you're thinking he's stopping you. And I want you to start thinking about what could he be teaching me. He could be teaching you valuable lessons and how you want to be a manager one day and how you don't want to be a manager one day.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have your brain looking for value and not looking for wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know you've arrived as an employee. When you can really work in any situation and rise above it and give the most value to your company. You'll always work for people like that.
Mm.
And you'll probably have to manage people like that one day. You want to move up?
I'm good where I'm at.
So like in 10 years, you want to be where you're at, or do you want to be in a different position? What do you think you might want to be in 10 years?
I'm not really thinking that far ahead. I don't know.
Say 5.
I mean, I'm a nurse manager already for what I do. I am a boss.
Okay.
I wouldn't really want to go up into like a CEO position, like a real business position after this. So
let's say you want to be the best nurse manager ever in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to teach you about managing other people by the way he manages you?
What is he going to teach me? That I should always pay attention when somebody talks, give them my full undivided attention.
Even when they want to come to you, like, do you ever have people underneath you come and want to talk to you about, you're just like, that's some bullshit. I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens to me a lot.
With me?
No, I'm talking about my team, my clients.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of times where I have learned, like, you know, to be the best version, to be the kind of person that can really be executing at a high level, you have to quit judging things.
Yeah.
Like, whatever problem, like, I could say, I'm like, Megan, you're just a dumbass. Come on, get off my call. Like, quit calling him stupid. We're done. Mm-hmm. That doesn't teach you anything.
Yeah.
What teaches you is showing you how your thoughts are what are creating your reality, so that maybe one day you can help somebody else figure out their thoughts to create their reality.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's plenty, like, what he's teaching you is that there are going to be sometimes your employees are going to come to you and they're going to be like, I have a huge complaint. Now, I'm just going to say the types of snacks we keep in the break room, like, they don't work for me. I know you're gluten-free, but I'm not. I really need Ding Dongs. And it'll be a serious problem and they'll cry. And you'll either be in a habit of judging people when they don't behave the way you want them to behave, or you'll be in the habit of listening to someone and understanding where they're at and working with them,
mm-hmm.
and helping them become the best version of them.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, don't learn how to be judgy.
Yeah. Be less judgmental.
Oh my God. I wish we all could like just remove the judgmental bone out of our bodies. It would be so much easier.
Be less judgmental and don't worry so much about interruptions.
I wouldn't. Unless if it is a true problem, you know the difference between a problem and an irritation.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a real problem, then you need to ask yourself, why am I not talking to him about it? If it's just an irritation, then that's a Megan problem.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, if I'm not willing to go speak to him about his behavior and say like, no, this is real, like, let me just show you how you're like really affecting my job. Like, I will be any kind of employee you want. If you want me spending time in your meetings while you watch Facebook and stuff, I'm all in, bro. But I need you to know that these things won't get done because of it. Is yeah. that okay with you? Like, that's being because then you've removed irritation.
Yeah.
You decided to problem solve. If you're just mm-hmm. sitting there judging and thinking it should be different because you like don't like this, then you know that's where you just need to do your work. It's like, it's not as big a deal as I'm making it. Yeah, I would like for him not to be on Facebook. I get to choose to not like that, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It mm-hmm. just means, like, I notice he's on the Facebook. I'm not going to sit here and be irritated, though. I'm like, I don't waste my mental energy on shit like that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that's why I took this phone call, because I was really just getting so upset the past couple of weeks. I said, that's it. I got to talk to Corinne about this, because what was it? It wasn't doing me any good. It's not doing me any good.
Well, and one thing you can do too is just like, if it was making you so upset other than irritation, it's like, why is this irritating me so bad? It probably comes back to, I think he's disrespecting me, or I think he's like, what do you make his actions mean about you as a person? Sometimes you can ask that question and that will find like, oh, I'm making this mean something's wrong with me, other than he has a low attention span.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of guy I work for. Like, if you're super irritated or like bringing you to tears, that kind of stuff, it's like, because I make it mean he's never going to value me as an employee. He doesn't know how hard I work for him. Like, sometimes if you dig around far enough, you'll be like, wow, I've created a very painful internal story around my boss who likes to get on Facebook because of short attention span.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can like be like, okay, now I know that I just need to quit thinking that part. Mm-hmm. So just look into that. But I mean, I think overall, I think you're just judging him. And I think we all do it. We grow up being taught to like sit around with our girl pack and, you know, like evaluate things. And we mm-hmm. sit around with our friends and evaluate husbands and how they act. We get into the habit of subtle judgment all the time. And sometimes it's fun. My girlfriend and I, we sit around all the time judging our husbands. But it's like, it's that lighthearted, it's like the, it's just yeah. that girl talk, you know, it doesn't ruin my day or my yeah. life.
I gotcha.
Then sometimes we're sitting around judging. It's like, oh my God, I want to quit my job, but I can't afford it.
I gotcha.
All right, lady.
Good Thank call. You so much.
You're welcome. Bye, Bye. Sweetie. Felicia. Boy, I look good.
Happened.
Oh, you're good. Well, we got, oh my God, everybody looks so good today. The day I'm not showered and it's like Barbie comes on.
Barbie?
You remind me of like Malibu Barbie.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Well, that was the first thing when you came on. I was like, can't somebody who doesn't appreciate showering like me come on today?
You're beautiful. Stop.
So what are we coaching on?
So I had a lot of different questions. I'm a newbie, by okay. the way, from January 1st. And awesome. I had a bunch of different random things. And then what I realized that I really want coaching on is my, like, stress and anxiety around my weight loss, because it's obviously important to me. I feel like I've like really made this investment in myself,
right?
Because I believe in the PNP tribe and all that. But I'm still having the same feelings of like, this isn't going to work either. Nothing's going to work. You're not going to be able to change your relationship with food. And
why not?
You know, it's just the thoughts that I'm having, and I'm like listening and I'm doing my thought downloads, and I'm still like, I'll like start thinking about it. And then I have like physical anxiety because I'm like just stuck there.
Are you acting on your anxiety, or are you at a point now where like you've noticed? So there's like two, well, there's actually three phases, but let's just do the first two. The first phase is where you know what you're thinking, you start feeling the anxiety, and you continue the old patterns. Are you there, or are you thinking the things, feeling the anxiety, and kind of stopping there, just wishing that part would end?
Well, I have, you know, 3 weeks of data to go off of where I've really been doing this.
Uh-huh.
So I would say there is an action. It's different than my past action, which my new action is like, I get anxiety around like meals. And so then I like have cortisol for dinner instead of like eating, and I'll just not eat, which isn't helping either.
I'll have cortisol like, for dinner. Can you imagine if we all went to a restaurant and be like, what would you like? Well, I'd like to start with cortisol, please.
You know? So I, and then I have
so your action is don't eat versus what it was, which was eat because of the anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And all the things that everybody says, like, well, I'm tired. I've worked really hard this week. I don't have time to make dinner or whatever. So I'm like planning and taking steps, but then I still have this anxiety surrounding it.
So why do you have anxiety? What is triggering the anxiety?
Fear. Failure.
Okay.
Fear of failure, that I'll be stuck in this body that I don't, that I'm not happy with, and that it'll keep me from my life goals.
So what is the only way that you will be stuck in the body you have, keeping you from your life goals? There's only one way that will ever happen. And what way is that?
If I don't change.
No.
I don't know.
Starts with a Q.
Oh, quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to go through this part. You're going to have overeats. So you're going to need to be really aware of this thought you have. that you're, because what's probably coming up for with you with anxiety is there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. I don't know. Is it?
I think so.
What do you think needs to happen in order for you to lose your weight?
Well, I think that I have some confusion about it because I know like doing this works. Writing my plan down means I'm going to make a better decision about food ahead of time. But like my scale, I think I'm like also weighing myself too much. And I've seen my scale move up and down so much over the past 3 weeks that I'm like, I ate really well yesterday and the day before that. And how has my weight fluctuated 2 pounds up?
Okay. So how could that have happened? Let's address that. How can your scale go up 2 pounds after eating good for 2 days? Eating on your plan and whatnot.
Not eating the right things.
Could be. What else could it be?
Just like my body fluctuating.
Just could be that. It just could be you learning how to not let the scale cause anxiety because it doesn't cause anxiety. What causes anxiety?
My thoughts.
Your thoughts about 2 pounds going up causes anxiety. Yeah. So watch where, like, I must be weighing too much. That's why I'm having anxiety. It's like, mm-hmm. No, you're weighing, you're having fluctuations, and those fluctuations are going to teach you how to quit having anxiety about the scale.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many lessons for you. So many. I want you to think about your anxiety. Like you're talking about your anxiety as if it's a bad thing that's happening. Is it a bad thing?
It feels bad.
It feels bad in your body, but is it a bad thing?
I think that the fear that I have of failing is, I mean, it can be bad, but it can also be like a motivator to really like figure things out.
It could be an indicator it's time to figure a new way of thinking out. So fear is never a motivator. We do not get positive results from negative feelings. Okay.
Okay.
So what we want to do though, is we want to start, I want you to think about your anxiety and your fear, and I want you to move them all the way up to the circumstance line.
Okay.
Only us coaches are allowed to do that. All of you, never. Unless you're on a call, don't do it. So we're going to put, let's just put anxiety in your circumstance line. How do you want to think about when you experience anxiety due to your thoughts?
Like just look at it subjectively, not to label it as being good or bad.
Yeah. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
It's supposed to show me what I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Cause a lot of you are in a rush to get the anxiety and the fear feelings to go away so you can get to the business of whatever you think's coming up next. Most of the time, you're going to have fear and anxiety for the rest of your life. It's just, you'll solve it in this one little area of life. It'll bubble up somewhere else. The real skill is getting to the point to where you can have fear and anxiety and not make it be a big deal. It just means, oh, I'm trying something new. This is like a big thing I'm trying to accomplish. It's normal to feel this way. What most of you do is you're like, I don't want to feel this. This is going to be too hard. Something must be going. I wouldn't be anxious unless something was really broken with my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like you wouldn't feel anxious if you weren't doing big things. So you just need to find the thought that's triggering some anxiety.
Okay.
Do you see where the difference in the judgment there and how you can experience the same emotion without a high level of other bullshit on top of it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about these thoughts that you have around never being, like, what did you say? You'll be stuck in this life forever.
Yeah. I mean, I know that sounds very dramatic, but,
a little, but you know, let's go with it.
Well, because like, I'm very good at reaching other goals in my life. and I will, you know, set goals and I work towards them and I do all the right things and I feel like I've accomplished a lot. And this is like the one thing that's like my last puzzle piece or whatever that I'm trying to put together. And like, I've tried so many different times in so many different ways and I'll lose and gain and all of that. And so I'm like, what is it about this when I can do so many other things? Like, what is it about this in particular?
This is a good question. So what is the different, what is another big goal that you've accomplished?
I wanted to become a director within my company and I worked towards that. And
so why you were, what do you think is the difference between weight and that? Why do you think you were better at that than you are at this?
Because it has to deal with like other people, maybe.
You really wanted it, right?
Yeah.
Did you set a goal?
Yeah.
Did you think about it?
Yeah.
Did you get all anxious about it? Or did you like, what'd you do?
I set small goals and then I like made it known to the people higher up in my company what my goal was and what I wanted to do.
And why did you do that?
Because I thought that if they knew what my goal was, that it would be more likely that, you know, they would think of me when the position became open.
But you felt what in order to tell them?
Confidence. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of like give you an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
In that area, you decided to be confident. You decided to just put your mind to it. You probably felt determined. You probably figured out ways to think, to feel certain things that got your ass going.
Yeah.
Same thing over here. We all are just like, did you sit around and spend a lot of time going, I'm so afraid no one's ever going to promote me and I'm going to be stuck in this job the rest of my life. Should probably never tell anyone. You know, I don't know. Like, did you spend a lot of time in that? You're like, I don't have time for that bullshit. I got to get promoted.
Yeah.
You can't do the same thing with your weight loss. You can't even just tell yourself, I don't have a lot of time to sit around and think up scary bullshit. I just need to get busy. I just need to do, because it's just going to be like what I told the last caller, the insecure version of you. What if we just set her aside for a little bit and we just start being like, I'm going to let all my crazy thoughts come in, but I'm going to start acting like someone who is determined every day. I'm going to think purposeful thoughts about being determined and motivated and no bullshit. This is the kind of person I'm going to be. I'm going to like schedule time to visualize. I'm going to write TDLs about how fucking on fire I'm going to be tomorrow. Like, do all of that. One of the things we did at camp is we did, that I don't teach very often because it's hard to teach online, but feeling on purpose. Waking up each day and saying, today is the day that I need to feel this in order to lose weight. Whatever that feeling is, here's the thoughts and the actions today that will reinforce that. Here's the things I'm committed to doing today. And like keeping your mind space and remembering it all day long. When the old stuff comes in, the insecure version of you comes in, you just say, we're trying something new. We're trying something new. I know you want to talk about this, but we're not talking about this today.
Yeah.
And setting her aside, because the worst case scenario is you will act like a determined person. You will channel your brain. You will be exhausted motivating yourself. You will do all of that kind of stuff. But you're already exhausted beating yourself up. You're already exhausted from ginning up anxiety. You're already doing all that. And if you really want to go back to being that version, it's just like I told the last person, she'll be right there waiting on you.
Yeah.
Going far away. I always think there's some peace and comfort knowing like, well, if I want to be the version of me that's not working out so well, but's comfortable, when I start acting like a new person, if I meet her, she's probably going to be right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. No, that really, that's like a huge aha for me. Cause it's like, obviously it's a simple concept and I'm just like, I don't have to feel that way. It's a choice.
Yeah, it is. And it's like one of these things where, guys, I want you to bathe in the version you want to be. Mm. Like every thought and feeling she has, every level of confidence, every decision she makes, all of those things. You cannot think about it enough. You cannot spend enough mental energy on it. You will never spend enough time there. Eventually, you will get to where you're so in love with thinking about it that the process to get there becomes really fun. You start opening your mind up to how this can be an amazing way to be the person you want to be. Like there is going to be plenty of like, the, you know, the hardest part really is redirecting your brain, like not thinking that, or just saying, I understand why I feel this way. I've thought like this for years and years and years. I don't have to be upset that this is coming around. And then sometimes you'll even catch yourself feeling anxious. And sometimes you'll even catch yourself already eating because of the anxiousness. And you can say, and that's okay too. Because you know what we're going to do today? We're going to celebrate the idea that we catch ourselves. We used to just say, fuck this, I'm a loser, and keep and put down the hammer and go on. And now we get to be like, the determined version of me understands when she's not acting in accordance with who she wants to be. And she's just like, anytime we want to stop eating, we can. Anytime we want to snap back into our future self, she's right there. Just like the other version of us, she's always right there. Both of them are right there. And then here's you in the middle, deciding mm-hmm. which one is present in the moment. It's like, and if you're in the insecure version, just decide, I want to be present with the other version. You don't have to be like all like upset about it either. That's how we make weight loss easy. Judgment is the hard part. So I was told our last caller, I was like, God, we could all just like retire the judgment bone.
Yeah.
Better life.
Yeah. And not just towards our bosses, towards ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Oh, yes, awesome. Definitely. Definitely exactly what I needed to hear. So thank you.
And you do look like Malibu Barbie. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Lori. Let's do this. Well, Mary, you're just getting, Mary's like, oh my God, amazing call.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you. I unmuted you.
Oh, I've never done this. This is great. Okay. Hi. Hi.
What can I help you with?
So when I signed up, you know, I was in the throes of like the future self crisis. Cause every morning I TDL and I do the 24-hour plan. And I always have like, okay, future self. I call her lean girl. And like, what's she doing? No drama. You know, like what's happened? And I don't feel anything. Like I feel no magic around it. But, so this is just so funny. Because it was a few weeks ago that I signed up. And I was like, I'm not feeling the magic. And then you know how the universe works. I mean, I don't mean to be woo-woo. But then you were like, oh, James Clear's book. And then I think you may have done a Facebook Live on future self. By the way, I tweeted to him yesterday to be like, please interview on Corinne's podcast. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I appreciate everybody putting the word out between him and Oprah. Right now, that's my two top goals.
I know you're putting it out there. But anyway, I don't even know if he sees my tweet. I mean, you know, he didn't respond. Anyway, but it's just so funny that happened. I'm reading his book and it really is awesome. And
it is really good.
But I still am stuck around because every time I envision a person who is 135 pounds, I see my mom and I can't. And to me, that means deprivation. She's very, very thin and always has been. Well, not always has been. I mean, she has disordered eating. And so every time I see a thin person, I think, how is that possible? Without deprivation. And so then I'm fundamentally like doubting that I can do it. I'm afraid if I get down there, I will be white knuckling it. And I don't know how to undo that and reverse that thinking. It's like, I always go there.
You got to redefine what 135 means. You literally have to say, like, I have my mom as my working definition. I need a new one.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's all you need. And do you think every person weighs 135 pounds, white knuckles?
I mean, I guess not.
No, we've got girls in there. Like, so one of the girls that came to camp, Melanie from Mississippi, she's part of the hot mess. She's like what I call the posse leader of the Hot Mess Express.
Oh yeah.
So Melanie's about 135 pounds. I mean, she's in that range. Eats chocolate cake every day. Wow. I need to get her to tell this story. She comes up to me at camp and she's like, you're the best thing that ever happened to me, all this other stuff. And I've met her a few times. And she was like, I knew you were my girl when you said you need to plan it realistically. And she's like, Melanie needs chocolate cake every day. She said, I lost every bit of my weight. She's lost a lot of weight. She's like, I lost every pound eating chocolate cake every single day. And she said, I look forward to it at night. And that's what I have. Hmm. So there's one other person. And we have several in the tribe. Here's the thing. If you don't, your mom was at what 135 because she white knuckled the entire time. You think you're going to get to 135 and start white knuckling. Why would you ever like decide like, well, here I am at 135. I guess I ought to start all that white knuckling.
Because when I was at my lowest weight, I was when I got married and I was like 140. Mm-hmm. And I was white knuckling. I was like.
So what'd you start at before the 140?
It was like 160 or something.
So you lost 20 pounds and you didn't white knuckle at all until you hit 140?
No, but I do remember when I got down to like 145 or whatever, I felt like I was white knuckling it. But I also was all about deprivation. So.
Yeah. So you're not doing that this time. So you don't obviously like that habit because you're crying and scared of it. Why do you think you would just decide to pick that shit up now? What if you could just get to 140 or 130, whatever your goal weight is, what if you could just get there this time without that? However you lose it is how you're going to live it. Are you white knuckling and depriving now? If you are, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, I guess I have in my mind. No, I'm not. And I guess I have in my mind, although I'm, you know, I just struggle or have to sit in discomfort and stuff, of course. But I guess I have in my mind that like the skinnier you get, like the less you can eat. And,
but here's the thing, I'm teaching you to honor your body. The thinner you get, the less you do eat, but you're learning how to eat according to what your body wants, not according to what your brain wants.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when you get to 135 pounds, no, you don't get to pick up emotional eating. I don't care how bad you want to. None of us get to, but if you weigh 250 pounds, guess what you don't get to do? Emotionally eat. We're cutting out the emotional part. We're eating based on what our body wants and needs from a place of, I deserve that. It's an honor to do it this way. Like Melanie is like, my body needs chocolate cake each day. It goes on my plan. I have no guilt about it.
I mean, so what I hear you saying, I feel like so dumb, but what I hear you saying is, like what I'm doing right now at like 166 or whatever is the same that I'll be doing at 135. And it's not going to feel different. Is that right?
Bingo. Huh. I mean, I only lost 100 pounds. I know it's only 100, but I only lost 100 pounds doing it that way.
I've lost 30 with you.
Yeah. So have you enjoyed the 30? Not yeah. Fucking sex.
No, not every day. Yes.
But are you depriving or are you cutting out your bullshit eating?
Cutting out bullshit.
Yeah. Well, when you're 135 pounds, you don't get to add bullshit eating in. Your mom is at 135 pounds in fear.
Yeah.
I want you to be at 135 pounds loving your life. Then you don't need bullshit eating if you love your life.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing I would invite you to do. What if we just lose weight and see if that white knuckling shit tries to come back and then we coach on that and we see if it's even a problem? It's like you're anticipating the problem now and keeping yourself from even getting there.
So I need, when I'm thinking about my future self, because I love the idea, and I love the idea of like, I'm the kind of person who dot, 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 like all the James Clear stuff. Mm-hmm. So am I then supposed to be like, okay, well, I just got to find someone new to think about. Or does that make sense? Like,
I would. I don't think your mom's a good example. Think about me. I'm not 135 pounds. How tall are you?
I thought I was 5'7", but it turns out I'm 5'6".
Well, we're 5'6". I like being 150. You like being 135. What if we just like decide you just think like Corinne? She thinks she's a boss at 150. You're going to be a boss at 135. Both of us are eating what we want. I have Subway.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's things that I eat that I love. And I promise you, if I wanted to weigh 135, I would not sit around and be like, okay, well, I'm going to teach them all this other shit, but I'm going to really have to do this.
Same stuff.
The only thing, it would be the exact same stuff. I'd probably like not have, like, I know if I looked at my protocol, like a lot of times I like to have chips with lunch. You know, maybe have chips with lunch a couple times a week, not most days of the week. Like I would literally do like I teach you guys. What are the small level ups? Like on date night, you know, Corinne, she loves her wine and her nachos. If I was going to change it up, I'd have a little less wine and maybe have half the nachos. But I would never feel deprived. I would always be doing it because I'm like, you know, I'd love to be 135. This would be great. I always think about it. What's the easiest way to get there?
Hmm. Yeah.
I would never be thinking, well, it's going to be some bullshit. I better figure out this is going to be terrible. So how can I make this really hard? Like, unless it feels hard, it's not right. That's when you know you're doing it wrong. Like your questions should always be like, I think you need to do the same exercise I had the first girl do. I think you need to ask yourself, at 135 pounds, this is what life looks like. This is the version of me. Like, it's gotta look this way. Because here's the thing, if that's not worth it, then you have to ask yourself, is 135 pounds even worth that?
Got it.
Like, I'm more invested in my life than I am on 135 pounds.
Yeah.
And then you get to start having interesting conversations with yourself. You get to really figure out what's going on for you. Doesn't mean that you won't want to be 135. You might be like, oh my God, I'm having all this drama because I might have to give up potato chips every day. No, I really need to check myself. That's not deprivation. I'd like to be 135 pounds. Or you'd be like, no, I'd like to be 145 pounds because I love Doritos. And I'm going to have Doritos every day. And it's worth being 140 pounds over 135. But you get to have those conversations from a place of this is what I want versus this is the way I think it has to be. And I don't know if I can do that. I don't want you doing it from doubt.
I've already started having those thoughts because I feel so good the past few weeks. I've really been doing the work. I've really been doing the hard stuff. I do the recovery worksheets, like, and I feel so good. And I'm like, why lose more? I mean, you know, for what? For what? 135 is a number because I've never been there. You know what I mean? So I'm going to prove to myself I can do it. But for what?
You need to just ask yourself, what do you want? What is it that I do want? Why would I want to do this? There might be good reasons. It may just be like, would you say 166?
Yeah.
What if you just decided like, you know what? I'm going to lose six more. I want to see what 160 is like. And then take it 5 pounds at a time and just be like, what's the easiest way to weigh 160 while continuing to enjoy my life and loving what I'm doing and learning so much about myself, learning about when I'm eating emotionally versus when I'm eating intentionally. Because here's the thing, like if you guys want to overeat, let's say you want to eat more than a 3 or whatever, and you want to intentionally do it while still loving your life and whatnot, hell, you get to do that too. All of you get to weigh whatever the hell you want. It's all about what life are you creating for yourself? And is it genuine and authentic and like true for you? Not for what you think you should be or what you've always thought, you know, it had to be and all that kind of stuff. It's more about what's real for you that's really going to like set you on fire, that you're living the life you want.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
Can you tell, like, so today the coaches are here, they're all gone now, but we're officially wrapped with camp and activities. We did a lot of work on things about like what we're going to be training the next 3 months and all this other stuff. And one of the last things we did is we did a big thing on future self and a letter. Like, this may be the most gut-wrenching version I've ever written. It was so good that when I got to the last few questions, and all we were doing was writing them down on a sheet of paper, Betsy and Kathy started crying. They were like, dude, this is going to get home. This is going to be good.
That means it's good, right?
I know. Sometimes I just sit around and marvel at how great I am.
I want to do that too.
And this will be released in the next, like, this is like stuff we're putting into the system. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm going to come to
got camp. Done in 2 days, 3 months of work.
Wow. Oh, wow. Good for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to come to camp this year. That's on my 2019 list.
Should do it. It's really good. It's such an amazing experience. It really is.
Oh, I can't wait. I really am like, I wish I could come in April, but I can't, but I'll come in October. I'm coming.
Yes. Well, October will be good. It's a great time of year to be in Nashville too. The weather is amazing in October. So, all right, lady.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All righty. Bye. All right. We're at 118. Let me see what this one Q&A is. In your podcast about Atomic Habits, you said that we need to like the system we set up. How do I like the hunger scale, leaving food behind, not eating till I'm full? You start understanding why you're doing it. That's part of it. You start telling yourself like, okay, so the hunger scale allows me to not have to count calories and be a crazy person with math. Leaving food behind is a process, and eventually it'll be okay because it means I'm going to be losing weight. It's just a lot of stuff like that. Like you have to love the process. So you take pieces and parts of the process a little bit at a time. You talk about why you're doing it. You think about like what it means, how it's going to benefit you in the future, and that kind of thing. In the beginning, you may not love leaving food behind, but you can at least try it and figure out, like, I may not love leaving food behind, but do I also love cleaning my plate? I may have justifications for doing it, but do I love the results of cleaning my plate? Those are some of the conversations you start having. All right, everybody. You guys have an amazing, amazing Wednesday. Facebook Q&A tomorrow, I believe, and Friday Motivate. I'm going to see y'all plenty the next few days. So I'll talk to you then. Have a good one. Bye, y'all.